Chumbadora!
Here comes a lightning bolt!
Charger fans are witnesses to history!
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go!
Welcome, everybody, to the Lightning Round Podcast. I am at Garrett Sisti. Jamie is at Lightning_Round. And we are here to review the Chargers' first preseason game. They won 13-6 against the SoFi rivals, the Los Angeles Rams. And there's a lot of storylines to take from this thing. So we're going to go like we've done this so many times. We're going to do offensive storylines, defensive storylines, talk about some special teams, depth chart, all that. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about the offense. What'd you like from the game on Saturday?
So the first thing that stood out to me, and I noticed it about halfway into the first possession, was they were playing with pretty good tempo. They were out of the huddle quickly. They were substituting in and out very efficiently. There were no delays. Wasn't taking them a long time to get people in and out of the game. And once they were out of the huddle, they were up to the line of scrimmage and they were snapping the ball pretty quickly. It seemed like in most cases, the ball was being snapped with somewhere between 10 and 15 seconds left on the clock. And they weren't really letting the defense settle in and get their matchups and figure out what they were going to do. And once the ball was snapped, ball was out fast. They weren't asking Chase Daniel to hold on to the ball, which is something that I don't think anybody wants to see him do. He was 3 5-step drops, couple reads, ball was out. More often than not, the ball was out and going to Josh Palmer, which we'll talk about more in a minute. But I liked the tempo. I liked how clean they were on offense. I don't remember any delays of game with either quarterback in the lineup. I don't remember really any issues getting people into or out of the huddle. It was just very clean, very efficient, very prepared, which was impressive considering lots of new faces and entirely new coaching staff. They're working with the backup quarterbacks. They're running all the backup receivers and running backs in and out of the lineup. Second and third string offensive linemen, and yet they played a very clean, very efficient, very up-tempo game, and they changed the tempo as they needed to depending on what was going on in the game. So those are all positives. I think if you can do that with Chase Daniel and do that with Easton Stick in the lineup, you can certainly do that with Justin Herbert. You can spread people out, move the ball around, and kind of manipulate them into doing what you want them to do on defense, which is a hallmark of Brandon Staley's defense. And maybe now we're going to see that on offense as well. So all good things in terms of the offensive tempo and how they went about getting in and out of the huddle and getting the ball out of Chase Daniel's hands. And they threw the ball a lot early on early downs, yeah, which is something that they didn't like to do when Anthony Lynn was here. So all good things.
Yeah, no, that definitely stuck out to me. The offensive pacing was totally light years ahead of what we've seen from the Chargers in the past. I loved getting up to the line fast. I love getting the ball out of Daniel's hand quickly. They're really pushing the pace and they're being aggressive. And like you're mentioning, it's a lot like what Staley did with his defense. It's aggressive. They're the one who set the pace. They're the one who set the tone. And that's what they're doing in the first preseason game. So if that's what we're going to see in the offense with the starters on the field week one, that's a thing of beauty. I have no complaints about what Lombardi has done. In fact, I love the pacing of this first game, and I hope they bring that into the regular season. And, you know, we got to talk about it. You talked about him, Joshua Palmer, the third round pick. He was the go-to receiver in the game. I mean, really on both sides of the ball. When he was on the field, he looked like the best receiver on either team during the preseason. Daniel needed to make a third down throw at any point. Palmer was the guy. He was the important guy that they went to on the opening drive. Palmer led the team in catches and yards. He finished with 6 for 36. Clearly, again, one of the best players on the field. He was getting separation, making tough catches. His route running was crisp. I mean, we saw it all. It wasn't that he was just getting open and sitting in soft zones. You saw defenders draped over him, still making tough catches. There's one where he got hit and he went to the ground and they thought maybe he fumbled it, but he still caught it. There was a lot we saw from Joshua Palmer. It wasn't just open, easy pitch and catches. He made some catches with guys on him. You saw him get separation with his feet. You saw it with his route running. It was awesome. You'd love to see Joshua Palmer. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, a wide receiver three battle opening up here. And after the first game, he looks to be taking the lead here.
Yeah, I mean, in the first preseason game, it was clear they were looking for him constantly.
Yeah,
you didn't really see that many looks for Tyron Johnson. They did try to push the ball down the field a couple times with Jalen Guyton. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get the ball to him in those situations, but they tried. And it seemed like they really used Palmer to kind of lull the defense to sleep with the underneath routes. It was, we're going to take what you're giving us for the first half of the first drive. And, oh, you're going to give us 6 or 7 yards off the line of scrimmage? All right, we'll take that and we'll turn it into 9 yards and we'll have a second and one. And they just kind of, you know, matriculated the ball down the field, so to speak, and kind of they took what the defense gave them. And then once the defense started clamping down and they started creeping up towards the line of scrimmage, they started pushing the ball down the field, trying to get the ball to Guyton, trying to get the ball to Donald Parham on corner routes and things of that nature. So they used Palmer and his route running and his hands as the possession receiver to kind of draw the defense in and lull the defense to sleep. And then they went over the top a couple times. They didn't have much success going over the top, but they did try. And it was those underneath routes for Palmer that really set that up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was great. Joshua Palmer looked excellent. What else on offense did you like, or at least see?
Well, another storyline for me was the running back depth. You know, we had kind of a narrative going in of we felt like we knew who was going to make the roster and who had the inside track on roster spots. We talked about Justin Jackson, you know, probably having that RB2 spot locked down, provided he could stay healthy. Well, we find out yesterday he's already tweaked a groin. He's already hurt.
Yeah.
Joshua Kelly didn't look all that great. They were trying to use him as a big back, a short yardage kind of back, had some issues moving the pile, didn't show a lot of great vision, wasn't terribly explosive, didn't look all that great. And the guys who we were kind of questioning at the back of the roster, the Larry Roundtree and Darius Bradwell, they had great games. They showed the vision. They showed the wiggle. They showed the burst. They were able to run people over. Bradwell was able to move the pile when he needed to and score that touchdown down on the goal line. They both converted key short yardage opportunities. Bradwell and Roundtree, in my opinion, offer things that Jackson and Kelly just don't offer. From a vision standpoint, from a wiggle standpoint, I think they complement Austin Ekeler in ways that Jackson and Kelly don't. And they looked really good. Now, it was a small sample size. It was one game. And a lot can change during the next two preseason games. But to me, it looked like there was just more energy and more juice, so to speak, with those guys in the lineup than there was with Jackson and Kelly, and Kelly in particular. I didn't think he looked all that great on Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm with you on Kelly. I actually liked what Jackson brought on the game on Saturday. Now, I mean, he's not healthy, so that means nothing if he can't stay healthy. But right now, I loved what he did. There was a lot of patience in his run early on. He had kind of like this Le'Veon Bell type to him where he was kind of setting up blockers and moving the chains early on. I liked what he did early on. Again, he's hurt. So how long is that going to last? And can you trust him to stay healthy during the season? That's all remain to be seen. But I mean, Larry Roundtree was one of the, if not the player of the game. He was excellent. You mentioned wiggle. He had a lot of it. He was very decisive on his runs. He had that big run on third down. He sealed the game at the end of the game. And Joshua Kelly, to me, was just dancing way too much in the backfield. He was ineffective. He was not decisive. And, you know, if all things are equal and Justin Jackson's injury is minor, I mean, how do you not put a guy like Darius Bradwell and Larry Roundtree above what you saw from Joshua Kelly? I mean, to me, he'd be towards the bottom of the depth chart after this game. And obviously, again, small sample size. And, you know, guys like Roundtree and Bradwell didn't garner the draft capital that Joshua Kelly did. But, you know, this is a new staff. And I just wonder how much longer you could string Joshua Kelly along when you've got what seems to be, after one game and a small sample size, some pretty talented bottom of the depth chart running backs like Larry Roundtree and even Darius Bradwell. But for me, I mean, we kind of went back and forth on, you thought Larry Roundtree would get cut. I thought it was Gabe Neighbors when we were doing our 53. But I mean, Larry Roundtree to me now is starting to climb up that depth chart. And if Jackson can't stay healthy, I mean, now we're talking, he could be in the running for that RB2 spot.
Yeah, I think what gives Jackson the leg up, provided he's healthy, is that he's a better receiver than the other three are. So that probably gives him the inside track to running back too, but guy's never on the field. So it doesn't matter what a good receiver you are or how good of a receiver you are if you can't stay on the field and you can't stay healthy. And I think that continues to be the knock on him, is seems like every time he's on the field, he gets hurt. and it takes forever for him to get back. So who knows what that looks like. But I think for sure Bradwell and Roundtree offer something that Joshua Kelly just doesn't. You know, Kelly was a fourth round pick, Roundtree was a fifth round pick. Bradwell was an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. So you would think that Kelly would have the inside track, but frankly, I mean, you know, they're trying to use him as a big back. He's not a big back. He might be a straight downhill runner, but that's just because he doesn't cut very well and he lacks vision. So he's not making people miss. But you know, to me, Roundtree and Bradwell can contribute on special teams, which Bradwell did. He had a special teams tackle on a kickoff return during the game on Saturday. If both those guys can contribute on special teams, I think that might give them a leg up over somebody like a Joshua Kelly. And then for Jackson, it's all about health. I mean,
yeah,
Jackson, he has his flashes where he's really exciting when he's on the field. He's just never on the field. So you really don't know. I mean, you don't know if you can rely on him or not.
Right. So one more thing before we move on for me. I mean, I thought this first team offensive line held up nicely. And of course, Rashawn Slater was a huge highlight. I mean, and I'm talking first team, that second team tackles were not as good. And Storm Norton did okay, but Trey Pipkins was a very tough watch the first time and a tough watch the second time. And I was not doing a third. But somebody who also stood out to me on the second watch, I knew he was in the game, but didn't, I guess, as much of appreciation for him as I did the second watch, was the rookie Brennan Hymus. I thought he played really, really well. I really liked what he contributed. And of course, I mean, how you couldn't ask any more from the first round pick, Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, Slater, what, 20 snaps, no pressures, made a couple of decent blocks in the run game. I actually thought there were a couple of blocks that Tyree St. Louis had a couple of nice run blocks.
There you go.
He's nothing special, nothing great, but I think there was the initial fourth down play they went on the first drive where he sealed off the hole and gave, I think it was Jackson, it might have been Kelly, an opportunity to convert the first down. So
Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, Hymus played well. I know there was one play at least where he and Slater combined on a pancake on a running play. And the line held up pretty well right up until about the point where they brought in Trey Pipkins.
And then it was good luck.
And then you could see it right away. I mean, people keep pointing out to me, he's a developmental prospect. Great. At what point?
For how many years?
Yeah. When do you stop clinging to that developmental tag? And when does he start developing?
I'd like to develop into like a George Clooney, Brad Pitt type. And at some point I just got to let it go. Right.
I think that ship has sailed, my friend.
All right. Let's talk about defense.
Yeah.
Unless you got somebody, do you have anybody else on offense?
I was just going to point out just the wide receiver battle as a whole on offense. Not a lot of those guys stood out too much. You know, we talked about Joshua Palmer standing out. They tried to get the ball to KJ Hill a little bit, but he was never open. And when he was, it didn't seem like he was looking for the ball. They tried to push the ball down the field with Guyton. He didn't really make any plays. Didn't see much of Tyron Johnson. The one guy who did stand out, who was starting to stand out later in camp, is Justin Moore. He had a couple nice third
Jason.
Down, or Jason Moore. He's had a couple nice third down catches. I love the way he catches the ball with his hands instead of trying to trap it against his body. That drives me crazy. But not a whole, we didn't really see anything from Austin Prohl. It was really just Joshua Palmer and Jason Moore who stood out in terms of making plays as receivers in that wide receiver three battle and also trying to stick at the bottom of the depth chart. Nobody else really did much of anything.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's Joshua Palmer and Jason Moore, and then it was just kind of everybody else. I don't think, and we'll get to special teams here towards the end, but I don't think KJ Hill or Joe Reed did anything to boost their stock. I mean, Austin Prohl only had one return, and he had one catch, I believe. And so, you know, nobody's really moving the needle, but Jason Moore was a guy that definitely kind of tacked onto his good camp. Donald Parham, even though he's not part of the wide receiver group, the other kind of receiving weapon, but other than that, I mean, there was no other tight ends, no other wide receivers, no running backs, nobody. I mean, in terms of, they didn't have a ton of offense in general, really, but most of their chunk plays came on the ground. So yeah, I mean, you know, there isn't a ton to talk about because there wasn't a lot of people that made a ton of catches, but there are a lot of guys that are fighting for the end of those wide receiver spots, and they did themselves no favors on Saturday.
I agree.
All right. So let's talk about defense. And I know we could talk about the starters and everybody else, but I want to talk about John Brannen because he was exciting. He, of course, you know, made that big play, the huge interception in the red zone where it came off his man, undercut the route in front of him, get the pick. It was really a savvy play. I mean, to leave his man and make a play on the ball with the Rams threatening there in the red zone. And Staley raved about Brannen after the game and said he looked like in camp these last couple of days that the game has slowed down for him a little bit. And he also has a couple interceptions in camp as well. So, you know, we know Michael Davis, Chris Harris Jr., Asante Samuel Jr. are locks, but guys like Ryan Smith and Brandon Faison have been banged up and out of practice. So, you know, there's probably a good chance Ryan Smith has a good chance of making this team because he was signed to really boost his special teams, but he hasn't been healthy. And then you look at guys like Brandon Faison and, you know, Tavon Campbell and the guys towards the end, they're threatening to make this roster. And a guy like John Brannen, now that these other guys aren't healthy, I mean, he's now in the mix for that fourth or fifth corner spot after his game on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought there were, you know, there were three guys at the end of that cornerback depth chart who really stepped up and showed what they could do on Saturday. You mentioned Brannen with the pick. Keemon Hall had a special teams tackle. He forced a fumble. He had a blitz off the edge where he forced an incomplete pass. And the very next play, he broke up a pass on third down to force a punt. So he had a very nice first preseason game. And Dante Vaughn also had a pass breakup and had a couple tackles. Yes. So all three of those guys took advantage of the opportunities they might not have been getting had Faison or Ryan Smith been healthy. And they all really stepped up and they made some plays and they contributed to what was really an overall very solid defensive performance, even though it was with the backups on the field.
Right.
Defense played quite well and the corners had a lot to do with that. So those three corners in particular played really well. And like you mentioned, a guy like Brannen Faison, we assume he's a lock to make the roster. He's been out for personal reasons for the last week or so, did not dress on Saturday. Who knows what things look like for him? You'd assume he's probably going to make the roster. But if a guy like Brannen, who's got a little bit of size and can run and obviously has some ball skills, continues to make some plays in the preseason, or if you know, Keemon Hall continues to be scrappy and come up with plays, maybe one of those guys sneaks onto the back of the roster. And that's not the worst thing in the world.
No.
You know, things can get stagnant at those last few spots on the roster sometimes with guys. They just keep hanging on and hanging on, even though they're not contributing. And, you know, if they can show that they can contribute on special teams and they can help out when they get their opportunities on defense, you know, maybe you take a shot at a guy like Keemon Hall or a guy like Brannen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, that's exactly right. I mean, sometimes teams just continue to keep these bottom of the roster guys. They love their stories and they've been with the team. They're familiar, but Brannen Faison, I mean, this could be that year. It's getting a little stale for me, and I would love to shake it up with, you know, maybe a Hall or a Brannen or somebody that makes a case for it, because what I saw with John Brannen is something I haven't seen from Faison in a long, long time. So, and this obviously is preseason, and we're talking about, you know, non-starters and all that, second, third stringers, but still, great play from Brannen, and let's move on. What other storylines you got from the defense from Saturday?
I mean, I think the big storyline that everybody was raving about was just how fast and how aggressive the Chargers were with their linebackers, both in terms of the blitz packages. We saw some creative ways of creating pressure with the linebackers and the defensive ends and the edge players, moving guys around, even sending corners off the edge. But, you know, Kaiser White looked fantastic on Saturday. Fast, explosive, big hitter. He blew up that screen on third down on the first possession to end that first drive. Just read it all the way, beat his man to his spot and made a big tackle. They blitzed Drew Tranquil a couple times and he looked good, you know, anticipating gaps and forcing bad throws from the quarterback. I thought watching the way that they were aggressive and they weren't just vanilla with their pressure packages in the preseason, seeing them kind of unleash Tranquil and unleash White. Haven't even seen them do that with Kenneth Murray yet, but you got to figure that's coming too at some point. Just kind of putting people on notice that, hey, we're going to move pieces around and we're going to attack and we're not just going to sit back in a zone defense and let you pick us apart. To see that in the preseason, it just gets me excited for what we're going to see in the regular season, because I think things are going to get much more exotic, and we're going to see much, you know, more blitz packages, more pressure coming from all kinds of different angles. And it's not just going to be Bosa and Fackrell or Bosa and Nwosu coming from their same spot on the line every time. They're going to mix it up, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, Tranquil and White, while only in for a limited time, they really made their presence felt. I mean, Tranquil on that blitz came so hard. Got a QB hit to force an incompletion. Hey now. And you mentioned
fast.
Thank you. He came fast and hard. And Kaiser White on that dump off to Jake Funk was a thing of beauty. I mean, you talked about it. I mean, he sniffed it out as soon as he saw it. He beat his man and he got a 5-yard loss on it. And I cannot wait to see those two dudes unleash this season. So moving on to another storyline. I mean, there was a guy that we had been talking about. He's kind of our dude, and people hit us up on Twitter about it when he gave up the touchdown, but it was Amen Abagamiga, who had a real rough opening sequence. He had two different blown coverages on that, one of which, of course, was the Rams blown touchdown. But after that, and I don't know if it was nerves or not, but after that, it seemed like Amen calmed down. He finished tied with third on the team in tackles, made some good plays in the run game. Coverage was always kind of wasn't his bag. I mean, that wasn't his strong suit. But in the run game, he looked good. And after that, I felt like he calmed down and things kind of started to slow down for him a little bit there. And I did like him after that first sequence. I thought there were some a lot more splash plays. I know, obviously, the touchdown was a rough go. But still, I thought Abagamiga played pretty well after that first sequence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a rough first sequence. That first pass, he got caught flat-footed and didn't drop deep enough, let the receiver get behind him. The touchdown, I mean, he was matched up with a wide receiver in the slot who hit him with a pretty mean double move, and most linebackers are going to get beat by that. I mean, not to make excuses, he did get beat. He did give up the touchdown, but it's kind of hard to blame him for getting beat by that out-and-up post move that they made in the end zone. That was a ridiculous move and a great throw. So, you know, coverage isn't his thing. He's there for special teams. He did show up in the run game. You mentioned he made some tackles in the run game, kind of settled down. Seemed like he was the guy who was in charge of making sure everybody was where they were supposed to be on special teams. I saw him on the field counting people a couple times I think it was on extra points or field goal attempts. And he was chasing people down, making plays. I thought he and Nick Neiman both played pretty well. Neiman was a little bit better. Yes. He was better in coverage. He played faster. He didn't seem like he was thinking as much. Didn't seem like the game was too fast for him. Whereas with Amen, I think early on it was a little fast for him. But both those guys, I thought, settled in and played pretty well. And both of those guys, I think, have a chance to really contribute on special teams.
Yeah. All right. What else we got?
I just wanted to point out how well the depth from the defensive line played in that game on Saturday. We saw some guys step up and make plays. Chris Rumpf had a half a sack. He also had a big special teams tackle, which was good to see him on special teams. I didn't realize they were using him in that role.
Yep.
Dan Gaziano played really well. Mm-hmm. He kept showing up, creating penetration, had a big run stop, I think, on the first possession for the Rams. Forrest Merrill looked like a wrecking ball. Very, yeah. Very heavy hands, just kind of throwing guys out of the way and exploding through gaps and making plays. And even Jesse Lemonnier showed up a couple times and flashed around the edge. So all guys at the back of the depth chart, some more so than others, who were competing for opportunities. Merrill's a guy who might start sneaking into some discussions if he continues to play that way. He offers some size that some of the interior defensive linemen don't necessarily add, and he's still pretty explosive with that size. So be interested to see how they integrate him into the defense here moving forward and if he gets some more opportunities based on the way he played on Saturday. But he surprised me. I wasn't expecting much out of him, and he looked really good.
I like how – was it Lemonnier? Is that how you pronounce
it? It's Lemonnier, yeah.
It is? Yeah. Oh, and I've been pronouncing it like a white person, Lemonnier, this whole time? Awesome! before we get off offense, defense, I mean, just as a whole, this rookie class really showed out this first game. I mean, we saw Rashawn Slater, best possible opening drive you could ask for from a rookie left tackle, 21 snaps, no pressures. Sante Samuel made his presence felt. He had a huge hit on that Rams opening drive. We saw Joshua Palmer lead the team in receptions, yards. He was that third down weapon. Trey McKitty had 13 snaps and didn't really do much with it. But, you know, you talked about Rumpf, who had the half a sack and some tackles on special teams. Hymus was a highlight on the O-line. Nick Neiman led the team in tackles. Larry Roundtree was the leading rusher. You see the game, probably one of the best players of that game. And Mark Webb didn't play because he tweaked a hammy. But from top to bottom, really, really effective. Guys made a lot of plays. And, you know, obviously we're talking about second, third string guys going for the Rams and for the Chargers. But you got to love this output from the rookies.
Yeah, I mean, in the preseason, it's all about making the most of your opportunities and giving the coaches a reason to continue to put you out there. And like you said, all those guys did that. Palmer was amazing, looked really, really good. You mentioned Roundtree. Neiman, I thought, looked really fast.
He very was so good athlete. Active.
Yeah, very active. Closed very quickly on some pass routes to get guys on the ground before they were able to pick up first downs. He looked really, really good. The group as a whole played really well, and the coaches have to be really proud that they looked as good as they did in their first preseason action. The moment wasn't too big, the lights weren't too bright, and they stepped up and played well.
All right, everybody's favorite group, special teams. Let's talk about it, because there was a lot of highlights in this game and not much you can complain about. And then special teams came along and said, well, how about me?
Well, let's start with the positive, and the positive is obviously Tristan Vizcaino. Seems to be climbing the depth chart. He was the one getting the live kicks in the first half, made two field goals, one from short distance, one from a little bit further out, striped both of them, looked really good. They didn't even really use Michael Badgley until they needed an extra point. And it seems like Vizcaino is the guy who special teams coach Darius Swinton is kind of handpicking for that kicker role. And He seems like he's kind of, you know, grabbing it by the short and curly, so to speak, and taking advantage of his opportunities. So he looked really good.
Rated R version of the Lightning Round podcast, baby, on this Monday afternoon.
Vizcaino kicked really well, and hopefully we get to see more of him, and he continues to push Badgley further and further down the depth chart, because that kicking position has to change.
Yeah. And today we learned it's going to be just Vizcaino and Badgley, because Kessman got cut today. So there's only two kickers, and it seems like Tristan moved ahead of Badgley after this game, made his two kicks, and that was the positive. And then came the covered units, and outside of the kickoff after halftime, which they covered well, when the returner took it out of the end zone they shouldn't have, there were multiple penalties. There were a couple delay of games, a holding. They had an illegal substitution that gave the Rams a first down when they were lined up to punt. I mean, this was bad in terms of execution, and the return game, obviously the coverage units didn't do good there either.
So yeah, the punt return coverage was terrible. There were a lot of issues. I thought on multiple occasions, the punters outkicked their coverage and made it difficult for guys to get down there and make plays. I noticed right off the bat, there's a big problem with guys being able to change direction on a dime and adjust to a cutting return man. Guys are getting their ankles broken and falling down and losing their balance left and right. It's ugly. And they look slow. They're slow getting down there. Now, part of that is the punters outkicking the coverage, but part of that is they just don't seem to have a whole lot of speed on special teams, which is kind of concerning. And that of course led to some big returns. And you mentioned the sloppiness. Now, first preseason game, especially on special teams, you're rotating guys in and out who are second, third, and fourth stringers. A lot of guys who might not even make the team. Some guys have never played special teams before. So you expect some of that substitution issues. The holding penalty was a big problem. They were just sloppy. They weren't ready. They were sloppy. It was bad. Hopefully it'll get better. You got to figure they're going to hit the special teams really hard here this week leading up to the next preseason game. They definitely need it. I can't imagine Swinton is at least a bit happy, or Brandon Staley for that matter. It was bad. I thought the kick coverage wasn't – I didn't think the kick coverage was that bad. It was just the punt coverage for the most part. They had some nice tackles. I noted Chris Rumpf, Darius Bradwell, Keemon Hall, and Emeka Egbule all made tackles in special teams on kick coverage. Big hits for all of them. And they kept the returns relatively short. Outside of maybe one, the opening kickoff, I don't think any of the kick returns got past the 20. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about that. I know the opening one did. But I thought the kickoff coverage was decent. It was the punt return that was excessively sloppy, really ugly. Got to hope it gets better. I mean, they, like I said, you're running a lot of scrubs in and out of there, guys, some guys who aren't even going to make the team, trying to make it work. Obviously having communication issues. I think Brandon Staley mentioned there was an issue on one of the punts where they weren't planning on using Chris Rump in the, I think it was punt on the punt team in the second half, but nobody told him that. So he went out there and they had a substitution issue because they had 12 men on the field just because nobody communicated with him. So there are some communication issues that need to get fixed, and hopefully the play gets a whole lot better too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And then in terms of returners, I mean, like we had talked about going into the 53 that we did, I mean, there's just no explosion there between KJ Hill and Joe Reed. I mean, there was nothing there. And, you know, they, neither of them helped themselves out in terms of the receiver competition or the returner competition. And the Chargers, like you were talking about on teams, they just don't have the explosion. They have got to get an athlete to add some speed as a returner. There just isn't that guy. I hate watching KJ Hill, a possession receiver, go down like he is at the goal line and just kind of wheedle his way into a crowd and go down before the 20. I mean, it's just, I don't love seeing him return balls anymore. Joe Reed had a little bit of speed. Prohl did too, but nobody did anything and there wasn't much there. I don't know where that athlete's coming from. Prohl's got the speed, but we just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, Prohl, I think, had a decent punt return, didn't he?
Yeah.
10, 12 yards, something like that. I think he was the only one who had a punt return of any significance.
It was 14.
Was it 14? I knew it was something like that. Reed had one decent kick return, but he was kind of weaving in and out of traffic and never really got a full head of steam going up the field. And KJ Hill, I get it. He was a draft pick. They're probably trying to justify drafting him and keeping him by fitting him on special teams. But I mean, to have him returning kicks over Nasir Adderley is ridiculous. I'm sure they're trying to protect Adderley and keep him healthy, but there has to be a better option. There's no wiggle. There's no explosion. There's no shortage of quickness. There's just nothing there. He's not making people miss. He's not going to run away from anybody, is KJ Hill. There's nothing there to scare anybody. Not a whole lot of reason to expect big plays with KJ Hill back there returning kicks or punts. It's just not it doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence that's their number one return man right now.
Yeah. We'll see next week when the Chargers play the 49ers for preseason number 2, and we'll be back to discuss it. Thank you all guys so much for listening. I am at Garrett Sisti on Twitter, Jamie.
@lightning_round.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.